Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
We always finish this Christmas season with this feast of the baptism of the Lord. Christmas finishes with this particular feast. So if you've taken down your Christmas decorations, today was the day. Now we celebrate that great octave of Christmas up to Epiphany, but that time between Epiphany and baptism, we call that the season of Christmas, because we're meditating on the grace we've received, particularly at that moment of the Epiphany of the Lord. But now we are celebrating something beautiful as well. It's a kind of a new Christmas. The Lord is renewing the grace and also sanctifying the waters of baptism. He's leading us to a proclamation of the faith. He's beginning his public ministry in this moment. So we want to think about, we want to really meditate on the beauty of this moment where Christ comes to the Jordan to be baptized, but also the grace of baptism that is within each of us. What does it actually mean? I celebrated a beautiful baptism this morning for a young baby, their parents, godparents, and family. We were all gathered. It was a beautiful celebration of that sacrament, which is something I've done many, many, many times in the 15 and a half years I've been able to baptize people. I've been thinking about that. When I left Enid, I calculated it. I don't remember the number, but I know the average is about 8 to 10 baptisms a month for 7 years. It's a great sacrament. It's been the same year, the year and a half I've been here. At least that many baptisms a month. People coming to the waters. We celebrate it, and we know it's a desire of our hearts, but what is it actually doing for our faith and in the world? So I want to first meditate with you on this gospel, the gospel of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. Because there's so many beautiful things happening in this gospel. Beautiful things that the Lord is pointing us towards, where he's saying, "I am making this new, in this new and eternal covenant." And so we want to think about how Jesus is making things new. First of all, he is... When we read this gospel, we recognize that he is the new Moses, bringing about a new exodus within the church. So what happens when Jesus comes up out of the water? The first thing we hear is the heavens open. The heavens open. Well, what the early church fathers said is this actually should remind us of what happened with the Israelites at the Red Sea. The waters were opened. The waters of that sea were open, and the Israelites passed through, following Moses, into freedom. what they called the Promised Land. They headed from Egypt into Israel, into that Promised Land, what we now call the Holy Land. And because of that great opening of the waters, they were able to be freed from Pharaoh and the army. They were saved. So in this gospel, the heavens are open and the Lord says, look, there's a new Exodus. There's a new way. And it's not a promised land that's on this earth. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavens are open. And those heavens were opened at that moment and they have not closed. Even to this day, baptism in and through Christ is the sacrament of our salvation. It's essential to the salvation of our souls. And as a baptized people, we march through those heavenly gates into the New Jerusalem. We are heading to a new and eternal exodus from sin, from darkness, into the light that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the new Moses leading us into a new exodus. But what comes down from the heavens, this image of a dove? There's so many things that people attach to this image. But what the church has always said is that image should remind us of what happened in the book of Exodus. At the end of the flood, what does God send to Noah? A dove. And that dove was the sign that this flood was over, that there was now the beginning of a new creation. A new earth, a new gift of life. The dove that descends upon us should remind us of the fact that Jesus is the new Adam. And he's bringing about through the waters of baptism a new creation in us and in the world. Through the waters of baptism, we even hear it in the ritual. We die to Christ, but we are reborn in the waters and into the church. In the waters of baptism and in this image of the dove, Jesus is the new Adam and the new creation, pointing us towards the waters of rebirth for us. But then we hear a voice come down from the heavens. This is my beloved Son. The church has taught always that that points us towards that New Testament image of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, who was asked by God to take his son, his beloved son, up the mountain to be sacrificed. And Abraham obeyed. He marched his son up that mountain, laid him on that altar of sacrifice, and was going to go through with it, and of course God stopped him. Jesus is the new Isaac. When we hear those words, this is my beloved son, it should point us toward the cross. Because the Father is also taking his son to be sacrificed. But that sacrifice had to happen for the salvation of the world. So Jesus is also the new Isaac. So maybe you didn't think that there's all this stuff going on in this gospel. So here, there you go. Beautiful theology that comes to us understanding in a deeper way what happens in a font just like this. This baptismal font has seen thousands upon thousands of baptisms. Maybe not that, I don't know. It's been here a long time, since 1951. Thousands of baptisms, thousands of new births, thousands of souls being bathed in the waters and becoming sons and daughters of God. So I want you to, maybe even if you don't remember it because you were an infant or very young, I want you to try to, in your mind, think of your baptism, your own baptism. When that happened, that moment when you received that sacrament. When we're anointed in this sacrament, there are three beautiful things that happen. One, there is a divine purification. Right? We are purified of original sin and any sin that might be present. We are purified and also sanctified in that moment. The Lord is claiming us and loving us. And through that love, he's saying, I will make you whole again. I'll give you everything you need to be a saint. So he gives us a divine purification, but he also gives us what I like to call a divine tattoo. This is the only tattoo that the church really likes, sorry. No tattoo, a divine tattoo, and we call it in the church actually an indelible mark. So he tattoos or he marks our soul at that moment of our baptism. And what does that mean? What's the importance of that? Well, that tattoo, that mark, is there for all of our life into heaven. What I tell everyone that's baptized is, from now on, the Lord will see you everywhere you go. He sees you, he loves you, and he claims you as his own. You could go as far away as you can from the church. But even then, you could go so far as to say, I don't believe in God. You could be a great sinner, a great doubter, struggling with sin that you can't even imagine. And the Lord still will see you. That's the beauty of that mark. He's claiming you forever. But he's also in that he's calling us. He doesn't want you to remain in sin, but to live in the freedom of the children of God. And so the final anointing is divine sonship. In baptism, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Father. God doesn't just love us as a friend. He loves you as his own. He loves us so deeply that he gave us his only son. And through that sacrifice, we know where our home is. What baptism teaches us is that our only true home is heaven. And so let's sprint toward God, toward our loving Father, toward Jesus, who is the true light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.